would also say good morning, and I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Especially even like Paul and many of his letters, greet you all that are faithful. He acknowledged the churches at Colossae and Ephesians and Philippians. Would greet them in those that are all that are faithful in Christ. He would say, grace unto you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would greet you with that. A thought that I had, I thought about sharing a little bit on that verse 18 in the Sunday school lesson. I think this is something that I got out of it. You know, everything we see, everything we look around us, Paul is telling us, says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So, for the things which are seen are temporal. Everything you see and look at, that you put any stock in, or remember, those things are all temporal. Those things will all fade away. They do not last forever, no matter what it is that you can put your eyes on. And those are the things that sometimes really, really bog us down. Those things are all temporal. But he wants us to focus or look into things which, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, what would a few of those items be? What are things that we can't see that are eternal? That was my question, I guess, on that in the Sunday school. Anyone care to give an answer? You're welcome. Name a few. So we have our focus on where it belongs. God. Our faith. The Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we're children of Him. Those are things that we don't actually physically see or can lay eyes on. And yet we know that they're there. And it kind of bears with the message, I guess, today. I picked this one back out of the file cabinet, I guess, from a few years back, 8 years ago or more it was. And that's kind of, I'm like, really? 8 years already? I mean, that's like, that seems like a long time, you know? It just seemed like a long time. And yet in our life, 10 years goes past and it's like a blink of an eye. But so it's based on something also that you can't see and yet is very, very real in our life. You can't deny it. And that's gravity. Gravity. It's gravity. And as I saw this or pulled this out, I had to think of a few things that or a couple incidents or accidents, whatever you want to call them, that happened in this last week that are also very real and very evidence of gravity is real and it's always at work. It's always there. You really cannot change it, you know. And so one thing without gravity, without the force of gravity on this earth, there would be no life. There would be no life. There would be no life on earth. So that's a thought to consider. And I started this with asking the question of we cannot defy gravity, or can we? As being the question, putting two questions in one there. Or a statement with a question, I guess. We cannot defy gravity, or can we defy gravity? And so I already given you some, we already had some thoughts on how gravity it's real. We can't see it, and yet we've already participated in things this morning that would defy gravity. There's things, you know, Your body can't defy gravity, but you have things within you that defy gravity. And that is the power of prayer. your spirit with God's spirit, your faith that you have in God, nothing holds that on, nothing keeps that on earth. Nothing keeps that right here. It can all transcend or go through the force of gravity that we have on this earth. You know, if we just all take a moment and pause and lift our, you know, lift our thoughts to God in prayer, we have defied gravity. So it can be defied. And I want to look at scripture that that tells us that. It simply tells us that in prayer like that, if our prayers are not hindered, it says, then we believe they will go straight to the throne room of God or into heaven, and gravity has been defied. Just a little on Isaac Newton or whatever, he put a formula together. Some of you are always interested in things like this, I guess, but had looked this up back then in a study of the gravity. Gravity is a force. The mutual attraction between objects that have a mass. The mutual attraction of objects that have mass. Isaac Newton formulated a law to express it in mathematical terms, and this is what he says. It states this, that the gravitational force or power between two objects is directly proportional to the product of the masses of those two objects. So, product is, when we talk about product, is proportional to the product of the masses of two objects. So, if you take two objects, a product is the answer to a multiplication problem. Is that right, Hadassah? Is that right? Okay, so what's 2 times 1? And 2 times 2? Okay. So we have product. We have 2 times 2 is 4, and 1 times 2 is 2. So it's the answer of two things or two objects. That is how he described, or the mathematical thing that he used to be able to explain what gravitational force is. So now, if you take yourself, if we take ourselves, and God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of His, and we multiply ourself times God, or with God. I'm not relating God as being a mass, and yet if we picture this as nothing is bigger than our God. And if we put ourselves in that equation and multiply it, you know, what a force. What a force that we can have for the kingdom of God. What a force that is there. What power is actually given to us. What power is actually, you know, you can add and increase things, but when you multiply things, when you take the multiplication and you get and the end result is a product, it is, it's like, you know, 10 times in a hurry. And the word tells us that God is a spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and truth. And if we multiply man's spirit with God's spirit, He tells us that we can do all things through Christ, Jesus our Lord. So let's invite Him there. Let's invite Him into the throne room of our hearts. Let's have Him, because He provides. He promises. He promises us that He and the Father will come and they'll make their abode with us. And His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of His. And we see this in a few verses. I thought of this song again, How Big Is Our God? I don't know if you ever listened to it or not. It's just a short little verse. I actually looked it up on YouTube and listened to it several times this morning. But it's just, how big is our God? How great is His name? How great is our God? He's forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll never leave you. Put your trust in Me. We sang that when I was teaching school. It's kind of just a theme song that we would sing every once in a while. We loved that song. We knew it by heart. And I think it speaks a lot to us. So Ephesians 3 verse 20 tells us that now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And Ephesians or Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The word gravity was found only to be used twice in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 3:14 says this. Another expression of the word gravity in the scriptures. And it says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And Titus 2:7 says this, in all things, showing himself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And here it means, again, it means a weighty matter. It means seriousness. It's an unseen force. It totally surrounds you. We don't deny that it exists. And you know what? We have great respect for gravity, don't we? Or we should have. If we don't have, we may get hurt. We have great respect of gravity. What goes up must come down. The term has been used like that. For example, we had in this past week, we had two people that fell. And there was nothing stopping them from hitting the ground. One broke his arm. That was the worst, I guess. So the other one is okay. Everybody's okay in that regards. But there was nothing to stop that. So if we want to turn to Psalms 139, we're going to look at several verses here, I guess, as an unseen force that surrounds us, that's with us, and that exists, and that we also should have the greatest and utmost respect for. there's just no way that we can be, thinking about our feet and where we are today, there's no way that we can be standing on absolutely nothing. Even in the law of something or anything, if it is written down or if it is spoken, it exists. Be it written or spoken, it exists. And God does want to do this. He tells us that he wants to put the law or the word of God into our hearts, and he will write them on our fleshly hearts or tables like that, if we let him do that. But in Psalms 139 from 1 to 18, I guess I was going to read. And he tells us this. It's just the omniscience, omnipresence of God. So if you want to stand, let's stand and we'll read these verses here. Stretch our legs a little bit. And David is writing this. He's praising God for his all-seeing and all-knowing providence. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Ye, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You may be seated. So where can we go? You know, like, we can't escape gravity. We say that. As long as we're here on the face of this earth, we cannot escape it. It exists. But in this scripture, David is actually, you know, pouring his heart out, and he's describing, or he's saying, where can I go? Where can we go, or where could he go and get away from God without being in the presence of God? So we can't. We simply can't, as the same as we cannot escape gravity. So again, and God wants to, scriptures, Hebrews 8 tells us that, I think. Yeah. Hebrews 8, verse 10, he tells us this: For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Again, it's almost the thing that's unseen. You think of the, you know, the wickedest people, or the most hideous crime, or whatever may be committed by man, and yet even that person, whoever he may be, cannot escape this. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And you know, probably, like in Williams, I appreciated that, thinking of the fact that you get imprisoned, and then all these daily cares that you worried about out here, they disappear, and yet what comes over a person that just sits there day in and day out with nothing to do or nothing to think, you know, I mean, where's, so in testimony after testimony I know has come out of there, where, you know, finally in that absence of any other activities or anything that they need to worry about out here, God finally is able to penetrate that body, that soul or whatever, and make him think that the only way you have true peace and true rest is to turn to him. You know, maybe some of the weightier matters or seriousness of life come in those situations. And maybe many will confess that God put me here so he could finally reach me. You know, I end up being put in this position, this place, for me to finally recognize who God was. So he wants to, again, remember, put those, just like gravity exists, he wants to put that word, he wants to put it in our hearts, he wants to, for us to write them there if we let him. A few other things like that relate to the gravity of the word of God. In Romans 10, verse 8 says, But saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Again, faith is that is an unseen force that is put out there. It is a power that's put out there. You know, you recognize other people's faith. You can't see it, but you do recognize it. You can acknowledge it, you know. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Do we see the gravity or the seriousness of that? The weight of that? 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." This is how the word of God that we have here before us, this is how that it is presented, or you could say it's how it's penetrated into our hearts and minds and souls. So again, we as, you know, as, I don't know if you want to call us what the word would be, but everyone here, I guess, I think, you know, in one sense has been, we're surrounded by God's word in our lives. We're brought up that way. We acknowledge that his spirit communes with us and that we can talk with God. His promise of making his abode with us, telling us and giving us that power. And he tells us, what does he tell us? That we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. He says, nay, in all things, in Romans 8:37, it says, nay, in all things we are. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So the other thing that we have, like the little bit the opposite of that, is in like gravity does, or things that you could say have. It says, I wrote this. I guess the beggarly elements of this world, the beggarly elements of this old world, want to drag us down. remember, the law stated that the mutual attraction is between two masses. So, and this can be summed up as the beggarly elements of this world. Scripture tells us that our struggle is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Those three things will drag us down. but we know that change can be had. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And those are the things that are in this world: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. When we give ourselves to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be joint heirs with Christ. These earthly things will lose their value, their power, and their attraction. Remember, we can do all things through Christ Jesus, our Lord, and he will strengthen us. one aspect of gravity that that we can share or think about has to do with acceleration, has to do with speed. You know, why am I standing right here today? Why am I not falling or free falling at all? Hadassah, did you bring a little bag today with your stuff in it? Does it have a handle on it? Can you bring that up here? I want to see it. Can you open it up for me? Is there a bunch of stuff in there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. Wow. Okay, let's see what happens. What if I stop right up here? What will happen? So you see speed. You can put water in a bucket. You can do this with water and it won't come out on your head. acceleration, speed has a lot to do with that. And we are on this earth, how fast are we going? Another thing that God designed, why there's life on earth and why we can stay here, set here like this. Why? How fast are we actually going? Anybody remember the calculation? Yeah, that's right. A little over 1,000 miles an hour. 1,040 miles an hour. What do you think happened when God says time no more and the earth stops spinning or whatever? What happens when this, if it would just slow down? I don't know where all the people would be landing and everything that we have and the buildings, and it would be a mess, wouldn't it? I mean, just like if I would have stopped Hadassah's bag up here, she has 50 pens in there and 25 other things. I mean, it would have all came crashing down. It would have hit the floor. And so, you know, miracles or whatever, not miracles, but by God's design, the earth was put here in the universe, and the earth is a huge mass, you know, and the spinning of that, the acceleration of that, is what keeps us from moving. But if you think of yourself and you close your eyes and imagine you're going 1,040 miles an hour, that's how fast you are spinning right now. But that spin keeps your feet on the ground. And when you step off of that ground, and you like you stand here and you step off of here, boom, you crash. Because you're not grounded to what is spinning. Then you're going to fall. And that's what happened to two guys this week. Stepped on a board, had a knot. Well, the one guy stepped on a board, had two nails in both ends, but it was nailed from the bottom up. He put one foot on it. He was fine. He stepped back and put his second foot on it, and boom, he dropped like a rock. They'll let go. The other guy was the same thing. Two knots, not on a board here. An old, rough sawn whatever, joist. A knot here and 6 feet over more here was another knot. The perfect knots or whatever. When he put his second foot on that board, it just crashed. And I was standing right beside it. I was like here, and he hit the floor right there. Boom. Just like, and I couldn't stop it. Nothing you can do to stop it, you know. according to man's calculations, I'll say, the earth is spinning on its axis 1,040 miles per hour, and you are part of that speed right now, and it's that is what's keeping you stuck on this earth. So, a few more thoughts here, I guess, or in examples. Chapter 2. Leave us with these examples or some thoughts, you know. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, 11, and 12. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them into two pieces. Wonder where gravity was there. It was defied. Elijah went up. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 40. Well, let's read 48. Here he tells us, Jesus says, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. This was the end of the Transfiguration. This is where Jesus Christ, again, he was defied gravity and was taken into the air, was taken into heaven to sit at the right hand of the throne of the Father, interceding for us again, night and day for us. And what does it say that they did here? In verse 52, it says they worshiped him. So let us also be of that mind. Let us worship the one that's also going to transfigure our spirit to go back with him, and someday raise our bodies, our mortal bodies, to immortality, and we can be raised in the air with him and defy all gravity. We can turn to Acts 1. Verse 8, I guess it is here. Well, let's read verse 7. I like it. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So, at that day, there will be no more gravity. Again, let us worship him. It was said, you know, when they receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive power that defy gravity. So, as a testament of God's Spirit within us, the Holy Ghost that comes and makes his abode with us, that we are privileged that God has created us that way and made us in his image and given us that. I don't know anything else that has that power to transcend gravity so easily and to be able to worship God, and to be able to pray to him and receive power to live above that lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life, the gravelly things that take us down. So the last verses I have would be in Thessalonians, First Thessalonians chapter 4. he tells us here that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 18, he tells us here at the end of this that we should comfort ourselves with these words. And so that's what I would like to leave you with, I guess, today, in the things that gravity can be defied. He says this in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Where's gravity? "To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So there's a day coming when there'll be no more gravity. Let's comfort one another with these words. I'm open for testimony and sharing. Prayer requests.